Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
More bombshells in the Karen Reed murder case. And following it, it's been entertaining, to say the least. I was actually out on a cruise last week, and I was sitting there on my phone, just kind of glued to the insanity that was going on. The judge has ruled that prosecutors can use direct messages between Reed and controversial blogger Aidan Kearney at trial, messages that allegedly include autopsy photos, witness addresses, and even grand jury material. It's part of what prosecutors say was a covert media campaign to pressure witnesses and control the public narrative. But is leaking case info to a blogger criminal or just bad judgment? And when does free speech cross the line into obstruction of justice? Joining us is former prosecutor and criminal defense attorney Eric Faddis. Eric, how big of a problem is this going to be, legally speaking, when a defendant is allegedly caught? I mean, she did flat out admit to talking with him every day on the documentary, feeding sensitive information, allegedly, to Kearney, who's under criminal indictment for witness intimidation already.
Yeah, you know, a lot of moving parts here, a lot of ongoing developments, even this close to trial, which is interesting. In looking at it, there's, in and of itself, there's nothing necessarily wrong with providing case information to another person. But sometimes where it crosses the line is when we're talking about witness intimidation, possible jury tampering, possible obstruction of justice. And we're looking at the information that was transmitted. One is like witnesses' addresses, allegedly.
Yeah.
That starts to raise some eyebrows in terms of these legal issues.
Well, and what is being allowed in as of right now is the communications between Reed and the blogger. Not the attorney and the blogger, at least as of yet. I wonder if that will change, but I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. But the fact that we have this list of stuff where we get to witness addresses and all of this, and we do clearly see, because we have seen the messages between the attorneys and him already, even though that may not be admitted into court, we can clearly see what was going on here. At the very least, a lot of, I don't know, I would read it as encouragement when it's like, and I'm just paraphrasing here, like, that was great. I believe there were some more explicits in there when talking about the way that this blogger was attacking people on his show and doxing information of people, giving out all that sort of stuff. And then you have the defense, and I don't know what exactly was going on with Karen and her. We will certainly find out. But you have the camp, at the very least, I think it's safe to say, encouraging this by being really excited about it. Would you, is that a safe assumption to make? Is that legally accurate to say excited about it? Maybe not necessarily saying go to the house and do this. Who knows what we're going to find, but they certainly were cheering him on.
It appears to be approval of what's going on,
yeah,
and also enabling of what's going on. And that second part is potentially problematic because they're giving information to this turtle boy who is then, in some people's eyes, engaging in harassment and intimidation of witnesses. It's one thing to profess one's innocence, but to enlist kind of a team to make life hard for witnesses so they don't testify against you, that starts verging on witness intimidation, which is an extremely serious crime. And I understand that Turtle Boy has at least an alleged history of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly charges there. We'll see where all that pans out to. So it's certainly been looked at. And I mean, if you just watch his videos, you can go, that certainly looks like witness intimidation. Unless you're blind and deaf and you can't understand or comprehend what's going on in front of you. I guess that's my conjecture. I don't know how it will be looked at as anything else. I mean, he's even flat out said this in more or less words, I'm paraphrasing here, that he doesn't care that, you know, it's intimidating witnesses. So he clearly is aware that his practices are intimidating potential witnesses in this case. And then if you actually have the defendant on the other side going on national television on documentaries saying that I talk to him every day for several hours, 5 to 6 days a week, and then later in that documentary also saying, well, I know he goes to the doors of people and knocks and does this or that, but They shouldn't be looked at as witnesses. They should be looked at as people who are being accused of the crime here. It's not up to Karen to do that. That's not for her to decide and say, well, I don't think I should be the one on trial here. I think it should be you. That's not reality. That's not the world we're working in at this moment in time. And you know, maybe you shouldn't be on trial, Karen, but that's not for you to decide. And it's not for you to, from what it appears, kind of be on board with this sort of activity. It seems to go quite extreme. What could we have for legal ramifications here if we're just talking about Karen and him? Obviously, this information can go into the trial, but beyond the trial, beyond the bad optics of this for a jury and the rest of the world, what could we actually see happen here?
You know, in parts of the recent Karen Reed documentary, my read on it was that Karen Reed thinks that she can't be held responsible for witness intimidation or something like that because Turtle Boy was doing all of this stuff. But that's not really what the law says. The law has something called accomplice liability. And what that means is that if Karen Reed knew that Turtle Boy wanted to intimidate witnesses to prevent them from testifying, and she provided material aid in support thereof, and also shared that belief that, hey, I also don't want these people testifying against me, that comes very close or possibly crosses the line into Karen Reed being charged with witness intimidation. There are some concerns about jury tampering, but I think Karen Reed probably is able to slither away from that because there is no jury that's actually been sat yet. And usually that's required. And just sort of, you know, tainting a future jury pool is often not adequate grounds for jury tampering. And so there are a number of legal issues that she's already contending with, and this adds several more.
So how, if at all, could this affect the trial where they're beginning jury selection here? The trial's going to be starting. Could this have any issue with that in terms of delaying the trial or maybe it's not getting there right now and having a stay on this? And or is this going to be an issue that's going to be addressed, or charges could possibly still come while the trial is going on, after the trial has finished? Is this like, you know, part three now to the saga that we're going to have to endure?
If there were new charges against Karen Reed, that could definitely result in a continuance of the current trial. But absent that, I get the impression Judge Cannone is going to want this to move forward. One thing it does for Karen Reed is the prosecution might say, hey, look, if a person's innocent, have the witnesses come in, and those witnesses aren't going to incriminate her because she did nothing wrong. She should be able to challenge them in cross-examination, have her day in court, and all is well and good. But when you start to engage in these alleged underhanded tactics of trying to intimidate witnesses and prevent them from testifying, it really adds a shady glare to what the defense is doing, and it's already a death case. Those optics can be problematic.
I mean, I'm sure anyone could, if you really dug, find information on these potential witnesses. It's not a big town. I'm sure you could find addresses and phone numbers and all that sort of stuff. But if the allegations are true that she was providing some of this stuff to him, I mean, I get, you can leak things out, you know, but that, I mean, personal information of people, how do you argue that there's any viable reason for this in his reporting, especially when he goes out there and then starts putting all this public information or all this private information out there to the public, you know, basically in a attitude way of a vendetta of harass those people, of call those people out, because he believes, and she obviously believes, that they are in the right and they are in the wrong, even though they're the ones on trial.
Yeah, it's an important point you touch on, Tony, because it's one thing for Karen Reed and her team to come out and say, hey, look, these witnesses are lying. They shouldn't be believed. This is a horrible thing that's happening to Karen Reed. Please feel sorry for her. That sort of thing. That's one thing. But when you are actually giving addresses for these witnesses, what's the purpose of that? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to accomplish? One thing you're doing is showing their location. Well, what could showing their location lead to? It could lead to people going to their house and harassing them and intimidating them, that kind of thing. There is just no innocent purpose that I can see for leaking the addresses themselves. And so the inference that many people are drawing is that this was sort of more of a concerted, underhanded effort to make these witnesses feel bad and feel scared. And that kind of thing is out of bounds and not something the jury is going to like.
I mean, I guess all you'd really have to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, is just have one of those people say, yeah, I felt really intimidated. Many have already. Many have said, yeah, it's been hell. They've been harassed, pressured. And again, this is whether you think they're right or wrong, whether you think Karen is innocent or guilty, there's been plenty of people in here that go beyond just the officers in this case. There's so many people who have nothing to do with this. They're family members, they're neighbors, they're relatives, they're dogs. there's so many things to this where people have been intimidated. I mean, I think that's without a doubt true to the point where, and if you're called then to be a witness, I mean, could you back out of that? Could you say, look, I feel threatened. I don't feel safe to come out here as a witness in this trial. Could you just take that for them? Then that would initiate charges against her of, look, you were part of this. Now they don't want to testify. They may have to. But the fact that that person is relaying, I was intimidated by this harassment, does that make witness intimidation a fact?
That is part of it, but it's not the whole thing. So that would not, in and of itself, necessarily result in new charges. What they're going to have to look at is whether Karen Reed essentially had this conscious objective, whether she had this knowledge that Turtle Boy was doing this and that she was feeding into it, providing material aid for that, and in fact that she wanted it to happen. Now, that bar is a little bit more difficult to reach. Mm-hmm. We look in the documentary, and Karen Reed seems a bit gleeful at times about some of the negativity going on the prosecution side, but does that rise to the level of, oh, I wanted these people to feel horrible and not testify against me? That's a little bit of a higher bar that would be difficult to prove.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.